Hey, Daily Dosers, this is Pastor Larry here, and I hear we have an election coming up. Now, I'm sure that most of you were unaware of that, and most of you probably don't have much of an opinion on how that election should go locally in terms of our state or nationally. Yeah, right. You know, this is probably a great time for us to be taking a little look at what the Bible says about the church and religion and politics. Those things are very important, no question. Who our leaders are and the privilege that we have to be involved in that process is absolutely amazing. And who those leaders are has huge impact. The policies they put in place outlast them even more so. And yet, in the midst of this, we always live in a danger of slowly, without realizing it, letting our political identities and our political passions overcome our passion for Jesus Christ. And it's been around for a long time. This is not a new phenomenon, though often people talk about that. I've often noted to people that I know lots of people who have married across faith lines, but I really don't know anybody in the last 15, 20 years who I have seen marry across political lines. It's as if our political viewpoints, identities, have become more important than our identity in Christ. And if we're truly going to be Jesus followers, we got to knock that off. It doesn't mean we got to get rid of our passion. Doesn't mean we shouldn't vote. Doesn't mean some of us shouldn't run for office and be very involved. But it does mean, as Chris likes to say, that the thing we're most known for is being a Jesus follower, not anything else. And today I just want to read from Matthew chapter 10 for you. The first time that Jesus' selection of the 12 apostles, the first time they're listed out in Matthew. There's a little unique thing that goes on here that I don't think most people know because it's just a series of names. So here we go. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter. He was the leader of them and listed first every single time. And his brother, Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother, John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. Now, what's interesting in this list, besides a little mention of Judas, who is later going to betray him, they mention that they're brothers or they're family kind of relationships, and there's only two of them where he says, wait, you need to know the background of this person, what they were known for, and what they did. And the first one is Matthew the tax collector, and the second one is Simon the Zealot. Now, we read that and it doesn't grasp us like it did in the first century, because the Roman government basically was ruling the known world at that point, and it was not a government that you messed with. It was an oppressive government, and they'd taken over the Jewish land as well. Now, they gave the Jews some religious freedom and kind of stayed out of their hair when they did the little temple sacrifices and all this, but Israel was not a free nation. And so he makes a big deal out of the point that Matthew, of all people, a tax collector, a Jew who collected taxes from his fellow Jews for the oppressive Roman government, was not just a disciple, which freaked people out, by the way, when Jesus went to Matthew's house and Matthew began to follow him. But then he actually puts him in the inner circle, this group of apostles, the key group that he would send out and identify with. A tax collector collecting money from his own people for the oppressors. And then Matthew also writes, by the way, there was one other person who you need to know their background and their persuasion. And that was Simon the Zealot. And the Zealots were a group of, basically it was guerrilla warfare against the Romans. And so any Roman official they could, and the back was turned and they wouldn't be caught, they'd kill them. They'd spit in the coffee. I want to tell you, the most despised person in the world in the eyes of Simon the Zealot would not be just a Roman oppressor, but a Jewish traitor. And yet God called them both to himself. And then when he picked his inner circle, purposely picked them. And Matthew says, don't miss that. That Jesus was so great that what he ended up with in his inner circle is two sworn enemies on the political spectrum. He probably made them room together on all the road trips. And I think maybe the reason the crowds were so big was not just some miracles of Jesus, But who is this man that can pull together a tax collector and a zealot? It's Jesus. Let's not forget that as we're in this highly polarized time with an election that, man, as we look forward to it, who knows what's even going to happen afterward on all kinds of issues and all kinds of sides. Let's remember, we're different. We're different. We cast a vote. We might have a bumper sticker, but the big sticker is Jesus. He's greater than anything. And no matter what the outcome is, we find comfort and strength in Jesus, not those who rule our local government, our state, or our nation.